The following recording offers you a number of different options for the Daf Yomi. It begins with a recording of this, the 13 cycles of Daf Yomi, and that's done rather rapidly, within a half an hour or less. That's followed by a quick review between 5 and 10 minutes, depending on the length of the Daf. After that comes the very same Daf from the previous cycle, done at greater length and much greater detail, with different participants and a different ambience. You could choose one for your original learning, one for review, alternate, or whatever you do, enjoy. Today's Daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you by Ben Chamot Yerushalayim, is Daf Yud Zayin. We're holding on Tet Zayin, on the bait, two lines up from the bottom. So we've gone through quite a few of the Yudchet Varim, that were Nigzarim. What are the rest? Ve'ilach Mayim, the Tanakh. Another thing that they were gozer on that day was that even though normally a ohel atuma has to be a minimum of a tefach wide, tefach by a tefach, and an ohel atuma means if there's some tuma under it and it's also over something else, it joins the two as if they're in the same house. If it's over you, or if it's over a kli, that kli will become tamei. Now, they were gozer in a case where someone is carrying something on his back, particularly a pretty standard tool, which is the mardea, to lead your cattle. If you're carrying a mardea, then that mardea is metame with the standard thickness of a mardea. Now, we're going to see that the thickness of a mardea has the circumference of a tefach, but obviously does not have the diameter of a tefach, certainly not a tefach ala tefach of an inscribed square, which is necessary. Nonetheless, they were gozer. So we'll see more about this in a minute when we get into the details. Rabbi Tarfon, akapeach et beni, shezo halacha mikupacha. This is such a completely wrecked halacha. I should just wreck my own child if this is the case. This was his common way of cursing himself. If this is a mistake, then, you know, I might as well lose my own child, because this is so insane that the only thing that's going to wake people up to such thing is a loss of that magnitude. Now, explain to you what happened. Shishama ha-shomea v'ta'a. Somebody heard, and this indeed is a true halacha, and he misunderstood it. This is what the halacha is about. Ha'ikar over. Well, a farmer is walking along, and he's carrying his mardea on his shoulders. One side of the mardea is now passes over inadvertently over a kever. What happens is that he's coming.
So he asks, what's the halacha? So Timur told me, Shukemim, Amahim, and Alameh. They told him he's tameh. Of course he's tameh. He's not tameh because he's under an oil. He's tameh because he touched the mardea, which was tameh. And they were only matami him to materev. Now this guy thought, gee, why is he tameh? If the only, but this is how Rashi understands it. Why is he tummy? He's tummy, I guess, because he was under it. So he went around claiming that, well, actually, he was an avatuma, and they made him go and get the shivas yomim, and they had to get the sprinkling of the poraduma, and no such thing ever happened.
Any kli of any size, which is itself a kli, that is mahil, doesn't have to bring tuma anywhere else. Anything that gets in between tuma, that's shooting up over a kever, I don't care how big it is, it's mekabel tuma, no matter what its size is, because it was mahil. The din of a tefach is only a din if you're spreading tuma and you're bringing it from one end of something to another. Then it needs a tefach. What does that have to do with this? That you think this is a new gezerah? That, well, a mardea doesn't need a tefach. Ah, ridiculous. Amar Rabbi Akiva, well, I'm going to explain it to you, and you will see that actually you are right and you're wrong. The case is, yes, you're 100% right, that the mardea itself was tameh. Nonetheless, they were in fact mitameh the farmer as well, but only because the mardea was tameh. Here's the deal. I want to explain this in a way that basically everybody who's speaking over here, and the Yudchet Dvarim, that everything makes sense. What they said was, Shiyuko ha-metatalim mevi'im et ha-tum'a al ha-adam she-nosei otam ba'ovi ha-mardeya ve'al atzman b'chol she'en ve'al shar adam ha-telem v'poteach tefach. So first of all, somebody is carrying a mardeya. Does the mardeya become tame? Yes. Once the mardeya becomes tame, then we extend the tuma to the person who is also himself under the mardeya. To bring tuma to somebody else who happens to be walking by, that's the standard din of poteach tefach. Because let me ask you something. This guy who is touching the mardeya, he's carrying the mardeya on his back. Forget about the tumas vayho. The Mardeya became Tame? Did the Mardeya become Tame from Aviavota Tuma? Yes, thank you. So what's its din? It's an Avatuma. What's the din of the person who touches it? He becomes Tame mate. He has to be, how long does it take him to get Tor? One day, because he touched not the mate, he touched the Avatuma of mate. Okay, but if that's the case, then that is going to cause confusion. Because people see a guy underneath a kli, and it passed over a mate, and the guy has to become tar, and he's tar at the end of the day. Well, I mean, and what if it would have been a little bit thicker? He would have been tame for 7 days. Then he would have needed the mate katak, and so on. I mean, that is a very reasonable gezera. Now, if he wasn't carrying something which itself would have become tame, which itself would have been matame in, then Rabbi Tarfon is 100% correct. Of course, there's no din in which we extended the din of Tumas Ol to something which was Bovi Amardea. But in a case where we already have to worry that there's a halakha of Tuma, and it's, people are going to see it's not Tuma Shiva, and they're going to get confused in the shear, because a little bit wider and it would have been too much, but we already make a gezeira. So something that is a standard farm implement that happens is we're going to see to have a tefak. So it's not as if it's not a tefak. It's a tefak of circumference, I understand. But at least we have what to base it on logically, that people will remember tefak, jir tefak. Okay, so I make fine. You want to be metabi somebody else, then it requires a standard tefak. But they are tefak. And you should know that that mardeya that they're talking about may not have an ovi tefach. It's not thick one tefach, but it does have a circumference of a tefach. Yishbe kefo tefach vegazru al hakefo mishum ovios. There's a combination of issues here. And as usual, we need to have the mechanisms to create a gezer. We do have a mechanism because we have tefach. It's not the right tefach, but at least it's a tefach. So the gezerah makes sense. We have a basis for the gezerah because of the fear of confusion of Tumas Shiva for Tumas Erev, and it's not as if we're creating Tumah out of nothing here. The guy is 100% Tamei Meit. All that we're doing is to bring Machmer on him, that he's not only Tamei Meit, there's a Tamei Meit something that was Nogea Meit, but it's a Tamei Meit as if he himself was Ma'al Ala Meit. That's all we're doing. Okay, so that's an additional one of the Yud Chet Dvorin. Of course, the problem is according to Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon says, that's a ridiculous halacha. He said, so now he's missing one of the Yod Chet Dvarim. What are we going to insert instead of this case? Remember, we added that as an extra one for Rabbi Yossi before, who was arguing about Sinor. So he, in that, does not hold of Rabbi Yossi. In other words, in that one, he holds of Rabbi Meir. And indeed, that was one of the gezerot, the kelim that were underneath the tinor when the sky had been covered with clouds, and then the clouds dispersed. Since it's under the tinor, retains the original halacha of considered the water to be shuvim, and so on. Fine. And therefore, each, both he, Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Yossi, can substitute benot kutim for this halacha. Okay, but we still don't have 18. Now, let's go on. Vida. Famous machloka chama vehilo. Habotzer legat. Now, this took place years before the Yud Chet Dvarim. That's true. But we'll explain this. They were talking about Shammai and Hillel themselves, argue. And Shammai and Hillel have the following conversation, and the following events happen. And that is going to have implications for Yud Chet Dvarim, as we'll see. So what is that? As we discussed earlier, somebody goes ahead and picks his grapes. His intent in picking grapes is not to store the grapes to make raisins. It's not to eat the grapes. It's to make wine in the gut. And now as he picks the grapes, he squeezes them by accident. A little bit of moisture comes out on the grape. And now he's got grapes that are covered with grape juice in his basket. Are these grapes mukshir lekabel tumah from that grape juice? Or do we say that this grape juice is not there as a kiyutan, kiyutin? Remember, kiyutan is similar. It's written as if it's just kiyutain, and we learn it has to be kiyutan, dumyala kiyutain, only moisture that you want it to be there. It's about kabel tuma. Why would you want to waste the grape juice to put it in your basket? Nonetheless, Shammai says, no, these grapes are hoksha. Hillel says, well, why would they be hoksha? Omar Hillel Shammai, I don't understand. Can you explain to me what is the difference between picking grapes and picking olives? You're making this new gezerah about picking grapes, but you're agreeing that when you pick olives that this is ridiculous. I mean, if you're going to make the gezerah, so be consistent. Says Shammai, okay, I'm warning you. You keep pushing me into a corner and I'll be consistent, all right? You don't like my gezerah on the grapes, I'll make it on the olives too. So shut up while you're ahead. Imtak niteni gozrani tumarafana mesikah. Natsuk Cherev in Beit HaMidrash. They took, put a sword by the door of the Beit HaMidrash, and they said, nobody leaves this room until we go to a boat. HaNichnas Yikanes, we allow people to walk in, but nobody leaves. And you're all going to give us your opinions. Hayotze al yotze. So, oto hayom haya Hillel kafuf yoshev lefnei shamai kechad ben ha-talmidim. Poor Hillel was the nasi, was such a tzaddik, such an anav. He had to sit there and accept the gezerot of Shammai because he was outvoted. It was a disaster. It was as if they had made an egel azahav to have their own new gods in Shammai when they should have been following Hillel, who was the nasi. Of course, this is there's all kinds of perusion why it's not such a benasav with the egel. Sometimes that more Torah came out of this disaster, just like more Torah came out of the egel. All the korbanos came out of the egel. The whole Torah's Canaan comes out because of the egel in order to divert Yisrael from Avodah Zorah. And there's so much of the machlokas. Okay, a lot of interesting discussions which are beyond the half an hour we allot to the Daf Yomi. And this, interestingly, is precisely the language that is quoted in the Tosefta about the day of the Yudchet Dvarim in the Aliyat Hananya ben Varon, which is very confusing because this is not what happened on that day, because this is Shammai Vehillel. And we already said earlier that Shammai Vehillel themselves were only chulik in three things. They were the Yudchet Dvarim. These were the Talmidim of Shammai Vehillel. So I don't get it. Well, says Tosefta before, obviously the same thing happened twice. We use the same lashon. That's not a problem. The problem is that if this was a gzeira from the time of Shammai Vehillel, how is it included in the Yudchet Dvarim? Oh, says the Gemara, that I'll explain to you. Gozer Shammai Vehillel v'lo kiplu mina. I remember, as we've explained before, a gzeira doesn't take hold just because some rabbis want it to take hold, and just because Sanhedrin HaGedolah wants it to take hold. It's a social phenomenon. So if the gzeira is accepted, then it takes hold, and that makes it a binding gezeira. And we actually do a survey after 12 months to see whether this is some gezeira that was popular or not. This gezeira was not popular, never took hold. So nobody accepted it, lo kiblu minayu. Later on, at the time of the gezeirot, of the Yudchet Dvarim, people, as you know, get firmer in their old age, and gozer v'kiblu minayu, they made the gezeira, and they were mekabel it indeed at that time, even though, again, we outvoted the Talmidim of Hillel. The Maisa over here, again, as Reb Tzadik points out, is that Hillel's entire approach was, the less gezeiras, the better. And his approach was, frumkeit is dangerous. And therefore, the more kulais, the better. This was his entire approach. The Kabbalistic basis for this is actually profound, that it goes back to the fact that Hillel is considered to be the equivalent of Ezra, and that there were two different periods in Yisrael's history, one which was a restoration of Malchut, which does not require the things that are from, as we know from Tanakh, nobody was from at the time of the Malachim, and the earlier one was the period of Hod, which required elements of Tikkun, of things that could easily break down. But again, beyond our discussions, but to violate that is similar to the Asiyas HaEgel HaZov. So in any event, we have the 18, because we can include both Selegat, even though Lamaisa, it was the early Gezerah, but it was renewed and accepted later on. What indeed, the Gemara doesn't even explain, what indeed is the reason that Abot Selegat were Megezer and Amosek for the Bad were not Gezer? Why isn't it the same? And that's because, as Tosis explains, Mesika of olives, when you press the olives, the juice that comes out is not considered to be oil. And therefore, it's muhal. Muhal alone, not muhal of shana. And therefore, it's not makapal, it's not makshir, because it's not a mashke. So even in the worst case situation, it wouldn't anyway have been considered to be a mashke. What the basis of the gezerah is, we are about to see. Says the Gemara, my time, but Hillel is right. Why would anybody want to waste his grape juice? It's definitely not a desirable thing to have his grapes wet before he actually brings them into the gat. Omer Ze'iri, Omer Rabbi Hanina, because Gzera Shema Yivatsenu Bikupot Tmeot. We're worried about the question of whether the baskets themselves were tameh. And if the baskets themselves are tameh, then the very fact that it's exposed directly to tuma is makshir, because it's makshiv, the mashkin that are on them. Says the Gemara, that's only true according to Mandiyama. Something that falls directly into Tuma reinforces the hechsher abilities of the liquid. But then, okay, then you could say that's the basis of the gezerah. But according to the Mandiyama, the Kli Tameh has no impact on the kashivut of the mashkin, and therefore the grapes would not have been mukshel lekabel tumah. What in the world is the reason to be gozer on wasted grape juice? Ma'ikel amima. Elam Rabbi Zira Rabbi Chanina. I'm sorry, I take that back, but certainly they didn't make the gzeirah according to Amandi Amar. The question over here is, what if you use plastic bags to put the grapes into? Or their equivalent to plastic bags, which were kupot mizufafot, where they would be coated with waterproofing. And there, since anyway I'm going to be squeezing these grapes, I'm perfectly happy for them to soften up before I bring them into the actual God and to have liquid on them. And if I never make people aware of the fact that there is a little bit of liquid in the grape when you pluck it very often, then even if they were mavatzer v'kupot mizufafot, they'll make the mistake of thinking that if tuma comes into contact with this before it's pressed, that it's tahar. And it's not tahar. So we make the gezeira covering all kupot for the occasions where you use a plastic bag. Rav Amar, gezeira mishum hanoshkot. Look, there are times where the grapes become stuck one to the other. So you have a full eshkol. This happens very often when we come back from the makolot, from the vegetable man. You can't separate the eshkol without pulling on it. Now over there, when you pull one eshkol out of the other, you're bound to break some grapes. Since you want to put on that extra force, because you need to separate them, that is considered to be something that I want to do, because I'm pulling on them b'yadayim. And pulling on them b'yadayim is something that's different, since that is basically impossible without it. So it turns out to be the equivalent of the idea of, as we have on Shabbos, cutting off the neck of something and saying it shouldn't die. This is the only thing that's going to happen. I have to pull it apart. I am squeezing it with a dime. So in that case, it's the equivalent of a psikration. And Rav Nachman Omer Rabba Bar Rav says, look, it's much more subtle than that and much more common than that. Basically, when people go to the vineyard before the Betzira, what they do is they have to check on how ripe the grapes are. In order to check on the grapes, they'll squeeze a little and they'll see. When they squeeze, they want that grape juice to come out, because they need to measure how much they're going to be able to get out of the grape. That grape juice falls on other clusters that are underneath them. They don't put that in a basket yet. They're not going to do the betzira until later. They then call up the office and they say, okay, it's ready to go. And the office sends out the workers and they start pulling off the grapes, not realizing that the other clusters are still damp. The moment that you disconnect the local clusters that were close to that one from the ground and it's touched by some migrant worker or something, it's going to be a kabel tuma, and nobody realized that it was still wet. So because of that, pa'amim shadam alech lekarmo, leidai migyan avim lebitzira olo. So he's no teleshkalan avim lesochato. He squeezes it on purpose. When he squeezes it, he's mezalef some of the grape juice, al gabe anavim. And then, when the workers come, b'shat b'tzira, nobody realizes that adayin mashke tofeach alayem, and because of that, we have to be gozer. V'idah. Okay, let's get the rest. Omar Tavi Rishpa, the trapper Tavi, who used to set out traps. Usually Rashi says a Rishpa is a bird trapper. Here Rashi says all types of traps, including chayot and ofot. Omar, he quotes Shmuel Tavi Rishpa, and he says, the other gzera that they made that day in the Yurkot gzera was gidule truma truma. You plant truma, and it grows. What grows is truma. And that is a gzera drabon. And obviously, we're talking about over here planting something where it's zaro kala. Zaro kala means not that you plant a cabbage and it keeps growing. Over there, indeed, that's not this gzera. Over there, because since it's still kayam, then it becomes a real mixture, and it would have normal dinim in your right of mixtures. But over here, you plant wheat, let's say. There's nothing left of the wheat when the plant grows, the new plant, the new grain grows. Nonetheless, they were gozer that the new wheat that grows out of the disappearing magical seed is all considered to be truma. And why is that? Amar Rabbi Chanina, well, what we're afraid of is that maybe a Yisrael set aside a lot of truma, you see. And he doesn't want to give it to a kohen. No, I can give this to a kohen. But what I could do is I could plant it, and then I save a lot of money on seed. And then when it grows, it won't be truma because it's zaro is kala. So at least I got away. I took off my truma and I didn't have to give it to a kohen. Brilliant. So mishum truma to rabbi yad yisrael. Oh my rabbi, that's crazy. If you're concerned that a guy is so desperate not to give something to a kohen, then what the heck was he mafresh so much truma in the first place? How much truma do you have to be mafresh to get rid of your problem of tevel? One grain. So if the guy is really worried about it, is this the way to get around it? You want to get around it? Get around it by giving one grain. So idika shiglo okay frushinami lo ifrushay ella the way that Shmuel said that given the efshalom evat chita achat kedishmuel. Shmuel says chita achat is poteret et akrit. Therefore, he didn't do that. Look how he's taking off the whole thing. And that's crazy. Why should we be fishing him? If no, yeah, no, then the rabbi doesn't believe that the guy is l'shem shamayim. He wants to give truma. Why would we be fishing him? I'll tell you. The problem is the Kohanim, not the Israelim. The Kohanim might have truma that became tummy. But what are you going to do with truma that's tummy, that's green? Throw it out? Nah. Save it for seed. Problem is, the season for planting may be 3 months in the future. It's okay. I'll put it in my drawer. And what happens when his wife runs out of flour and makes something out of this grain and has some fresh oatmeal from Truma Tameya and is over on eating Truma Tameya? So because of that, Gzeirah, Mishum Truma Tameya Biyat Kohen, Dilba Mashi Legabe, we're afraid he's going to keep it around, and through that, Ati Ligdei Takala come to be over on Anis. Okay, what else is there? Omer Apiyah Barami Mishmei De'ula, there's also a Gzeirah that if somebody was walking on Erev Shabbat, and it's a minute before Shkia, and he started getting desperate because he's not home, and he's carrying his wallet with $10,000 in it. What does he do? Is he going to be a good little boy and put the wallet under a tree? No, he is not. So therefore, what he would do, in keeping with the halacha, is he would walk home, but he would only walk less than 4 amot at a time, and that way he wouldn't get into a problem of carrying and so on. They made a takana. If you're carrying a wallet, give it to a guy and have him carry it home for you. And hope you won't walk off with a $10,000.
That's what the thing is. And then we kept walking in the yeshiva.
Where's the wallet?
He brought it to the yeshiva.
You did?
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, there you go. So the Yud Ches Dover is right there in Barnea's neighbor. Okay. And what else is there? Ah, that's from South Pacific. Bali, hi, Bali, Omar. So Bali quotes Avimi from Sanvata'a as saying that the Gezerah of Pitan, Vishamnan, Vigyanan, Uvnotehem, Kulam Yutchet Davarhem. So the Isser of buying Pat Akum, Shemen Akum, and of course the Yayin. And what this really ends up meaning is Pat, Vishemen, was Aser, as we're going to see, because of the Yayin. And the yayin was aser because of mixing with the goyim. And therefore, when it says v'notayam over here, what it's really referring to, is, there's a question, actually, whether it's referring to yichud with goyas, because there's not really an iser sleeping with a goya, according to many, many mefarshim. So they made a gezerah on yichud, even though it wouldn't be covered by the standard yichud. Others learn that it's a gezerah to give a goyish woman a din of a nida, even if she isn't. Because it's not the same thing as benot kutim nidot miari satan, because there you could always put them in a mikvah, and you know that they're not nidot. It's just that the kutim didn't believe that a child would be a nidot, even if she's bleeding, and so on. Okay, so basically we've got these other gezerot. It sounds like we've got too many right now, as we're going to see. And all right, so now according to Rabbi Meir, we had the if we include benot kutim, which is a little bit of a problem, because according to Rabbi Meir, the only reason we're saying according to Rabbi Yossi Benot Kutim, as Tosis points out before, is because according to Rabbi Meir, we're Chayesh Lemiyuta. So we don't need a Gezerah. And the issue with Rabbi Meir is that it depends on whether you view Kutim as Gerei Arayot, in which case they're not really Metami as Nidas anyway, or Gerei Emet, in which case they are. Now it should be, I'll leave it to Rimeir, Chayesh Liyuta, and also Paskins, that Kutim or Gerei Emet, we don't need a Gezerah of Benot Kutim Nidot Miari Satan. So Tosfos says, yes, we do. We do. Why do we? Because even Rabbi Meir needs to have some basis for a Chash Lemiyuta, and this is something that unless there's a reason for you to suspect that something happened, we're not going to create something out of nowhere just because we're Chayesh Lemiyuta. I mean, it's something that is so rare for a child to be hormonally impacted by the mother to the extent that she actually menstruates at birth. And because of that, even Rabbi Meir would hold that it was a distancing idea and that we were ghosts. Okay. But the problem is, if we include it according to Rabbi Meir, and we need it for the 18, then that means according to Rabbi Yossi, we don't have 18. Of course, according to Rabbi Tarfid, all the loch and the kupakat with the Ovi Mardea, we also don't. But those says, yeah, that's true. And we don't. So we're missing one, because now we're trying to include Benot Kutim Ali with Rabbi Meir. So how do we explain that? Ah, because, you see, there is also something else. All right, so we'll get to this in a sec. Rav Yossi Shvasri Haven, and says the Gemara, Ikar HaDe Rav Acha Bar Adam, Dabar Rav Acha Bar Adam, Rav Yitzchak. Basically, the Gezera of Shemen, pot, and Yayin is all one thing. So they were Gozer. When it says Shamnan Yenan Pitan, this is just an introduction to the additional thing. Shamnan Yenan Pitan means they were Gozer on the pot. Later on, by the way, Rebbe was Mavato that Gezera. So they were Gozer on pot because of the Shemen Akum problem. They were Gozer on the Shemen because of the Yayin Akum. What? Why is Shemen any worse than pot? I don't understand. What do you mean? They were Gozer on pot because if you eat the pot, you could eat the Shemen. What's the difference? My ume, why is Shemen worse than pot? You're right, sorry. They were Gozer on pot and Shemen is the way to read it. Same level of Gezerah. Mishum Yeinam. Because the Yayin, yes, the Yayin is a serious issue. Okay? And there, the Yayin, because the Tosva says, that's why we're Gozer on Yayin, even Yisrei Hanah, which is not true of pot. So here we have Stam Yayin, because it was normal enough to be Menasech Yayin, even Shalom Bifnei and Avodah Zarah, that we were Machmer on it. And why were we Gozer on Yayin? Well, we know Yayin is the great mixer. That we know yet from the time of Pa'or. So Yayin was Gozer because of Benotehem. And Benotehem, our problem of hanging around with Benotehem is you end up, Mishum Davar Acher, you end up doing Avodah Zarah. And then there was another thing. There was another Davar Acher, Mishum Davar Acher. And that's the additional one that we didn't mention before. What was that? My Davar Acher. Oh. On Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, basically they were Gozer on males also to be Nida Ismaeli Satan. Of course, male can't be a Nida. So we were Gozer on any male Goy to be Metame Beziva. And that is because so much acceptance and normalcy of homosexuality is among the Goyim. We don't want Jewish kids getting used to that kind of thing. And as we saw in Avodah Zarah, Yisrael are much more attractive to Goyim. The Gemara says even the animals of Yisrael are much more attractive than their own wives, and therefore we wanted to be Gozer as well for this. Wait a minute, so then, but I mean, if there is such a Gzera, then we've just upped it to Rebbe Meir to 19. So according to Rebbe Meir Nami, we have Tishrei Av, you now have 19. Well, you were counting Ochlin Umashkin and Kalim, remember. Shenitmu Bamashkin as two. Rebbe Meir calls that one. And therefore, we now have our clear-cut 18. So we have the 9 things we have that pasul truma. Now that's either 9, depending on how you count it. Obviously, you leave it with Yossi or Rebbe Meir, we have to count it differently. So then we have a Ochel Ochel Rishon, Ochel Ochel Sheni, Mashkin, somebody Shota Mashkin, and then we have a Barosh of Arubo in Mayim Shuvim, we have Misha Tor, Shemaflalav, Shlosh Shalugin, we have the Din of Sefer Ismetam Yadayim, then we have Stam Yadayim, and then we have Ochel Kelim Shnitamu Mashkin, that gives us 9 for Truma. Then we have the Ein Korin Lo on there, and Ein Polin Lo on there, which clearly appears to be 2, because it says Elu Min Halakot, instead of saying Zemin Halakha. Then we have the Din of the Sinor, with the Mayim HaShuvim. We have the Ovi Amardea, that we just had. We had Benot Kutim, that we just counted both, Alibir Rabbi Meir, and Alibir Rabbi Yossi. We have Botzer Lagat, which was the renewed Gezer of the Yud Chestover. Gidulek Truma Truma, which we just said. We have the Din of handing your pocketbook, your keys, your wallet, to a Nochri. And then we have Pitan and Shamnan, and this new Gezer of Tinok, which that means we have to take Ochlin and Kalin, that we're Metame Bamashka, put them into one, so we only have 8 of Truma. And one additional curious thing, that closes the issue, but it doesn't necessarily close the topic that we've been discussing. Why? Because even though Rashi has been learning all along that Biyutchet Nechlaku, Biyutchet Hushvu, and so on, he learns that that's all a description of the 18 Gezerot. So we fought about the 18 Gezerot, we voted on the 18 Gezerot, then we ended up adopting the 18. It's all the same 18. The Ramban and the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayot and other Rishonim say that doesn't make any sense. Because, I mean, what would be the point of saying that then? Actually, the entire Perek is built around 18, according to their sheet. We're about to embark on another 18 Machlokasim. And in these 18, Halakha is like Beit Hillel, and that's what it's referring to when it says that the Yutchet Nechlako. That's the next mission. Beit Shammai Amrim, Ein Sharin Diyov Samanim, Beit Hillel Makshirim, Matirim, Beit Shammai Amrim, Ein, no, we're going to get to that tomorrow. So there are 18 new things coming up that are Machlokasim. That's what it was referring to, the 18 Nechlako. When we were talking about in 18 Hushvu, those are the 18 Halakhot from the beginning of the Perek until now. Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shmoneh. Sapar. Erev Shabbat. Don't go to Sapar, don't go to Merkatz, don't go to Pursky, don't go to Din, and don't start eating. Five. An additional five is the case of Lo Yetzeh Hayat, Lo Yetzeh Halavlar, Mifalek Yilavlar on there, this Lo Yochal Azav Im Azavah, which is a big problem. The Tosfos Tainus is not one of the 18, it's that same Mishnah. Of course, Kayotze B'davar doesn't necessarily mean to be Exera then. That's not what's Rashi and Tosfos. That gives us another five. So that means we have five of those Gezerot, five of the Sapar Merchatz, eight Yitziot HaShabbat. Those are 18 that are not Machlokes, 18 Hushru, 18 Nechloku, 18 Gezeros. The entire parak is built around Chai, according to the Shittat. Lovely. V'idach ma yiditznan, kolam etatat bevinat zumavo v'yamar deyom revitarfen, kapeach et benish zo halakha mekupachat, ששמע שומע וטעה, העיקר עובר, מרדאו כתפו, ואייל צדוחת על הקבר. Well, of course, תימו אותו משום כלים המאהיל עם על המת, but they gave him a din only of תומת ערב. אומר רבי עקיבא, אני אתקן, שדברי חכמים קיימים. Of course, the מרדאה, is Tamei 7 days. And of course, the Ikar Adin, the Mardea was Metamei the Ikar, and only for one day. However, Shukola Metatun, Mevim Metatumala, Adam Sheno Seotam Baovia Mardea, Vialatzman Behoshehin, Vial Shara Adam Vekelim Bepoteat Tefar, Viom Rabianai, furthermore, Mardea Shamru, a baby ate Beovio Tefah, what Yeshbe Kefo Tefah, because Ruala Kefo Mishumovio. Anyway, according to Rabbi Tarfa, we can't include this because he says a kapera beni, shalakazo mekupachat, so now batsulohu. On Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak, well, he would also have to insert benot kutim nidot bari satan, bo bayom gazru, ubi ida, sphere like Rabbi Meir. Vida, about to look at Shamar of Shar, Hilomer, Lo Shamar, Hil Shamai, Mipnei, Mabuts, Rimbetara, Venmos, Inbetara, be consistent. I'm like, okay, Imtaki Tini, I will be, so shut up. Because running to Mafala Misika, no, to Herbeta Midrash, Amron, Ignazi Kanes, Ayotse, Ayetse, Botoyo Maya, Yel Kafuf, Yoshev, De Shamaike, Hadminatamidim, Vayaka Shel, Yisrael, Kiom Shinasaba, Egel. Megozer shama ve'ilav lo kiblu minayu. Ato talmidayu gozer ve'kiblu minayu in exactly the same events as described in the Tosefta. My time off for this gezera amra ziram rebchanina gezera shimevatzrenu bekupot meot. Yeah, but that's only according to the Mandiomar. The kli tame is choshev mashkin. Okay, but Mandiomar in kli tame choshev mashkin ma'ikalameima. Elo amra ziram rebchanina. Gezera shami yevatzenu bekupot mezupapot. Rava amar gezera mishum hanoshchot. Rav Nachman amar Rava bar Abua pa'amim shadam olech lekarmo leidai migiu anavim liftzira olo. No telosh kol anavim lesochato, and he does that on purpose. That's mizulaf now. So he's mizalif agabi anavim. Ubishat betzira. It happens that adayin mashka tofeach aleihem. Ve'ida. Omar tavi rishpa, omar shmolav kidulei truma truma, bo bayom gazru maitaima, omar rabbi chanina gzera mishum truma Torah beyad Yisrael. Omar rabbi chashidi lachi, why should they be mafrish so much? Ela, efshalem evat chita achat kidishmua, velo kaavin, clearly im nuyamni. Therefore, this must be gzera mishum truma tmea beyad koin. We're worried the mamashi legabe, ve'atili de takala, ve'idach, omr kibarami mishmedu hula, af mishach eshich lo baderach, noten kisola nochri, that was also bo bayom gazru, not to carry it pachot pachot, mi'arba amot, ve'idach, omr bali, omr avimi sadvata'a, pitan ve'shamnan ve'yenan uvdotehem, kulam mi'utchet davar hen, henich al Rabbi Meir, al Rabbi Yossi, shabsri havyan, Ikadar Vakabar Ada Dyam Ravakabar Adam Ravitzkar Gozar Alpitamishum Shamnam Al Shamnamishum Yinan Alpitamishum Shaman Mayum and the Shemini Patsar Gozar Alpitam Vishamnam Mishum Yinan Ayunam Mishum Benotehem Babnotehem Mishum Dovarakra Vedazora Vial Dovarakar Zivas on Ktanim of Akum, Mishum Dover Akr, Vimishkav Zachor. My Dover Akum Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchok Zvah Tinok Nochri, Shimitami Beziva, Shloye Tinok Yisrael Rogel Atzlo Bimishkav Zachor. Yoch Le Rabbi Meir Nami Tishrei Havyan, Och Le Kelm Shnit Pupamashkin, Bechoda Choshiv Lohu. Now remember, this is not exactly the same, but note Kutim is Dafka Kutim, not the Nochrim. We were talking about Nochrim. Don't confuse Benoteim as being related to the question of the Kutim. Here we're talking about calling a Goya a Nida. So that even if you hold that Kutim and Gera a riot and you give them a din of Akum called Dovra, there would still be a difference between that original Gezerah and this Gezerah, because you could be Matayr Benot Kutim, but you can't be Matayr the din of an Akum being a Nida no matter what you do. So that's a separate aloha, and shouldn't be confused by counting that.
Today's daf is Yud-Zayin. We're holding at two lines above the bottom. The idach mahi, what additional gezerot are there of the yud-chet dvarim? That's none. Kol ha-metatelim mevi'im et ha-tum'ah ba'ol v'hamardeah. Just a brief review of Hilchot Tum'ah. There's a number of different issues that we should keep in mind here. One is that there's a halacha of Tumat Oha, and there's two different elements in Tumat Oha which are important to remember. One is if you or an object is Ma'ahil, that is to say it passes over something which is dead, an Adam that is dead, Yisrael I should say, that is dead, it's a Tamibah. And no matter what the size is of the object, as long as it's a Kletus of Kabbal Tuma, no matter how small a part of the body passes over the mace, it will be Makabal Tuma directly from that mace, it will become an Avatuma because a mace is an Avatuma. There's another din of oil which is called hamshacha of tumah, which brings tumah to anything under the oil. So if there's a mate in a room, anything in the room becomes tummy, that's right, b'makabel tumah. Or, technically speaking, as long as you have something which is the width of one tefach, that stretches over any part of you and any part of the mate, so then it's considered to be in the same oil. So that brings the tumah onto something else. But for that, it needs to be a tefach. Why? Then there's another halakha, which of course is the standard halakha of nogeya. A nogeya in the mate is the same thing as if he was mile in the mate. But what about someone who is nogeya, who now becomes an avatuma? So an avatuma can be metame odom v'kelim, but he's only metame odom v'kelim to become a rishon l'tuma. The difference between the avatuma of the mate and the rishon l'tuma is the avatuma requires the full scale 7 days with the poratuma and the mikvah and so on and so forth. Whereas the rishon l'tuma is the same as being mekabel tuma from any other avatuma. There's one very important exception to all of this, and that's called Tum'ah v'Chiburim. Actually, there are other exceptions, but that's what we're going to talk about today. So Tum'ah v'Chiburim means that when an object is actually in contact with the mate, or in the equivalent of contact, which is that it's being ma'ayil on the mate, then if you are holding that object at the same time with your bare hands, so then that's considered to be as if you yourself are mechubar to the object, and then you will become tummy, nothing to do with the ohel, simply by virtue of the fact that the object and you are one thing. However, that object is being mekabel tuma, you too are being mekabel tuma. That's tuma v'chiburim. So the question over here was, what would be the din of someone, in a pretty standard situation, somebody's carrying a pole behind him, and actually they used to walk around very much in an agrarian society with poles that were used for making animal crops for them. You know, you whack your shoulder and so on and keep going. Such a pole is called a mardea. And a mardea, the reason it's called a mardea, of course, is that what the word implies. You're attempting to impose the bitterness of a consciousness over that animal. That's a mardea. To force it to follow the way you want it to go, and to therefore achieve results that normally wouldn't have been achieved biologically. So we call that a mardea.
Shepherd's stick or something like that?
No, it's a farmer's stick, which is used, the shepherd is the thing. No, there's a pole. It's a pole. You need something heavier than a switch to it. Because it also gives direction. You know, we're very interested in maintaining direction when it comes to shwar and tuami.
As his plow way in this thing.
Yeah. So that mardea would commonly be held over, a guy would be walking along. Might be my hill over something, but big deal. It's really pretty thin. It's again not a problem. The only thing is, if it were my hill over something and was mekabel tuma, the guy was holding it with his bare hands, at that point it would be tuma v'chiburim. He might become an avatuma without even realizing it. And this is how Tosis learns most of it. That's our concern here. However, let's begin just discussing the din. The Mishnah says that all metaltalim, which you can carry around from place to place, would be maybe tuma even with only an ovi hamardea. Ovi hamardea means that you have something which is only a third of a tefach in width, but because a third of a tefach equals a tefach in circumference, we gave it the din of a tefach, as if it's actually an oil. So even though there wasn't any problem of actual tuma, in this case, through tuma bechiburim or through no ger or anything else, other than the fact that if the guy is touching his mardea at the time that it's over a maid or touching a maid, even though it's not beyond, I mean, there would be the din of being mekabel tuma as an avet tuma, as a rishon tuma, but not only is metami tumas erev. We gave it a din, whether you're in touch with it or not in touch with it, you're over, underneath this mardea, it's going to be maybe tuma, even though it's not a tefach wide. So if it passes over a mate and you're on the other side, it will be metami. Omer Rabbi Tarfa nakapeach et b'ni shezo halakha mekupachat. This is, the Tosfos says, it's like chayei paro. You know, you guys get out of here, paro should only drop that. In other words, if I'm wrong, but this isn't a halakha mekupachat, but this is like a totally messed up halakha, which people got confused, and now we're passing on nonsense as if it's the truth, then I'm ready to lose my son too. It's the same thing that people swear b'chayayin, you know, b'chayayin. So I'm ready to stake my life on this. So it's a lashon of shvuah. Sheshama hashomea v'ta'a, the guy heard the halakha in the Beit HaMidrash and reported it and misunderstood everything that was going on, and now comes along and tells us a phony halakha. What happened was, ha'ikar over, umardeok tefot. So here's a farmer walking down the street. He's got his mardea hanging back over his shoulder. V'ihel tzido achat ala kever. And now the side of the mardea that was far away from him passes over a kever. So he asks, what's the halacha? So Timur told me from Kelim Amahim and Alameh. They told him he's tamei. Of course he's tamei. He's not tamei because he's under an oil. He's tamei because he touched the mardea, which was tamei. And they were only metamei him to materev. Now the guy, this guy thought, gee, why is he tamei? If he only, but this Arashi understands it. Why is he tamei? He's tamei, I guess, because he was under it. So he went around claiming that, well, actually, he was an abatuma, and they made him go and get the shivas yomim, and they had to get the sprinkling of the paraduma, and no such thing ever happened. Now Tosfos says this is very strange. I mean, if that's the point, then why would anybody have made him make a mistake? I mean, everybody knows that if somebody touches something that was tummy, the mace, it becomes tummy. We say, well, what would possibly have led somebody to make a mistake? This is the portion of halacha. I mean, what, every single time that somebody would hear halacha that somebody's tummy as tummy mace, he would assume that it means tuma shiva because he's not batuma. It just doesn't make any sense. Furthermore, says Tosfos, and here's the key, according to Tosfos, deciphering the whole halacha here, is that the guy should be tamei midiraisa anyway. Shivas yomi. Because if he's holding that mardeya over his shoulder, then the din would be that he's tamei because of tumat b'chiburim. He was holding the mardeya at the time that the mardeya was in contact, so to speak, mayo, which is the same din, over the mate. And the din is that tumat b'chiburim, even through ohel, is indeed tamei tuma shiva. So therefore, midiraisa, this guy was tamei shiva. So what do you mean? I mean, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. They couldn't have told him that he's only tummy one day. So what is Rabbi Tarfon saying was a mistake? And what kind of gezeira would be involved? There would be a tumah d'oraisa. Something's funny about this. So therefore, Tosfos learns that on the contrary, they in fact were metamei him tumah shiva, and they were metamei him tumah shiva because of tumah b'chiburim. Now tumah b'chiburim is not well known. He thought that it was because of tumas oil. So because of that, why did he think such a thing? Because he figured, I guess you measure the share of tefach by a circumference. So therefore, he came along and claimed that there was such a gezeirah. But the fact is, there was no such gezeirah. Omer Rabbi Akiva, no. Even allowing for such mistakes. Ani atakein, shu divrei chachamim kayami. Let me explain to you that there is, in fact, a case where this is to be taken very seriously, and it's a gezeirah. Because really, shukolam etatam yivina datuma ala adam shenoseotam ba'ovi hamardeya v'yal atzimam b'koshein v'yal shar adam v'kevim v'poteach tefach. First of all, let's put everything in its place. If something is mahil over something else, not a person who's holding that thing, then there's a halakha poteach tefach, and that's it. Either it's a tefach wide, or it's not an ohel atum. Nothing to discuss. No such gezeirah. If a person himself or a thing passes over a mate, obviously, it doesn't need any shear at all. But the point, because they are themselves are the owners. It's only they didn't bring mamshich from one thing to another. They didn't have to be in an oath. Therefore, you need a shear. But you don't have to be in the oath when you are the oath. So simply on the kabbalatum as if you were no ge'ah in the thing. The chiddush over here is that in a case where somebody is holding the thing itself, he's being no say it himself, then they made a gezerah, and the gezerah was of hekefo mishum rochavo. So since over here people will think that you could be mekabel tuma in an ohel over here, they think that the tuma. Let's first explain Tosfos Pshat, because it's really much more powerful. Since Be'etzem it is shayach to be makabel tuma bechiburim, which people are not aware of. So if a person is not going to be makabel tuma bechiburim, such as he's wearing a glove or he's holding a sack at the same time that he's holding these, it's not his naked flesh isn't touched with this naked hand. So what's going to happen? People who know that there's tuma at a time when he is no gevur mardeh may also come to a conclusion that the tuma is only a tuma of Shimon. Of Eretz, even if it would be an ohel. Because they're not going to be mavdo between cases. In other words, what do we care? So somebody who's carrying says chiburin, says the guy, I think it's all, doesn't matter to us. Who cares? But the problem is that if we're not gozer, the equivalent of a tumas ohel, because a kefir mishum rochbo, then in cases where it doesn't make the slightest difference vis-a-vis ohel, the guy was in touch with his mardeah with a glove instead of with his flesh. So all of the people that have been assuming all along, gee, I guess that's an oral problem, see that he's only going to be tomei to myself. We're going to tell him, no, you're only tomei to myself. What was the case? I was holding it with my gloves. Okay, no problem. They don't know what's to myself and what's to my b'chiburim. That's the whole point, according to Tosis. Shama, hashamea v'ta'a, that's the ta'ut. People get confused between those two things. So memela, you're right, Rabbi Tarfon. This is how Tosis says. You're right, says Rabbi Akiva. Nonetheless, that itself is the problem. You think that because he was ta'an, there's a din of tumas b'chiburim, therefore we never made a gezerah. That was on the contrary. That's why we made the gezerah. Because since you can easily have a case where it's exactly the same situation, and yet the guy is not a av ha-tumah himself, he's only a rishon ha-tumah, because some kli, because it was makabel tumah b'chiburim, some beged was makabel tumah b'chiburim, like his handkerchief, and then he became now only a rishon, and therefore he's only coming to Maserev, and everybody sees, well, he goes to the mikveh, he doesn't bother with the poraduma, and he's tar that night, and so on, then they'll assume, so that's the din of an oil. This must be some crazy brisker chormer that people wait 7 days, and so on and so forth. So therefore, we'll go according to the Yigra Adin. So the very issue that you, Rabbi Akiva, or you, Rabbi Tarfon, was saying, the whole thing was silly. No, that was the problem. Is that those understand? So that's a very powerful argument. Okay, I mean, the way Rashi is learning, it's a little bit strange. Why would anybody get confused? And Rabbi Akiva is saying, I'm going to be matakein. I mean, that's not really being matakein. You're not dealing with the issue very much. All you're doing is you're introducing a new thing. You're introducing the fact that people get confused between the hekef and between the ovi. So Mamela, because of the fact that he's going to be, anyway, the Tamei Maga, so we want to turn it into a case of real tumas ohel, because otherwise, if the people know it's the tami maga, according to Rashi, he's not talking about tumas people. Stop! He's going to be tami b'maga tumas erev. So then, people will think that's the case, and it must be you're being the tami mishum ohel, because there's a heck if this Rashi doesn't listen. Therefore, they'll come to make the mistake of thinking that that's the din b'chalal, that tumas ohel, even a real ohel of a tefach would only be tumas erev. So in the Mela, they made a gezerah. Okay, so according to Rashi, the guy made a mistake because he thought it was too much error. And then the Rebbe Akiva says, no, on the contrary, it wasn't a mistake. It was, in fact, too much shiva, but that was because of the gezerah. Why did they make that gezerah? Because people will think that there's no difference between the maga and the all, and if we would only have made him too much error, so then they would have thought that every toil is too much error. And that would have been a mistake. Right? But anyway, this is another one of the Yotzkas Dvarim. Of course, not according to Rabbi Tarfon, because Rabbi Tarfon laughs off the whole thing. So we have a problem. Rabbi Tarfon is going to be missing one of the first ones. The Amr of Yannet, Umardea Shamro, based on this understanding, I mean, people are not total idiots. They know there's a din of Tefach, so why would they make this mistake? Because we're talking about a Mardea, where although it's not a Tefach thick, there is a Tefach of the circumference. And the point over here is that they would go to the Kefar Mishum Avyo. So, wait, but you're saying according to Rabbi Tarfon, I mean, he says there's absolutely no such thing. Where does he get What does he get now? 18 things. So now he's going to be missing one, right? So Batsalahu, one is missing. Amr Nachum Ra Yitzchak, no, because remember that we were playing with Benot Kutim. Our Benot Kutim included. Yesterday we had a problem about whether Lamaisa we should include the case of the Kalim that were Nishkachim, which was a whole big machlokas, Beit Shemayim, Beit Hillel, whether that was ever settled or not. So if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, he says, Adayin hi machloket. So if he says, Adayin hi machloket, then it's not one of your ketzvarim. Adayin hi machloket means we have a standard, standing machloket, Beit Shemayim, Beit Hillel. What's the din? Halachat Beit Hillel. So where would we have a gezerah on it? It's only where we're Nimnu the Gomru. So we said yesterday we had a problem in Rav Yossi because he was saying it's a standing machlokes. How do we answer that? We said, okay, there's another floating issue over here, which he holds as part of Yitzchak Devarim, and that's Benot Kutim. Okay, so then maybe the point is this. If you hold, like Rebbe Tarfon over here, that there's no such gezeira as the Ovi Hamardea, then you can use Benot Kutim to take the place of the Ovi Hamardea. I mean, of course, he'll be really in trouble if he agrees with Rabbi Yossi in the other case, but he would be missing two cases. But in the other case, he holds like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yossi. So he's not missing that case, so he uses the floating case. Okay. V'idach, all right. What's the other gezer of the Yotche Dvarim? Well, the other case we mentioned was Abotzer Legat. The Abotzer Legat was where somebody's picking grapes, and he's going to be pressing them, and as he picks them, there's a little bit of leakage. Normally, we would have thought that that kind of leakage, since it's going to be wasted, by the time it gets into the press, it's going to have dripped away. Because you usually collect this in baskets. So why would anybody want it? So it wouldn't be included in a kiyutan, because kiyutan means it has to be ritzon cha, you want it. And therefore, kiyutan, of course, doesn't mean kiyutan means that. But we darshan kiyutan as if it says kiyutan, because that's how it's written without the vav. So kiyutan is passive, but there's no kiyutan dumya to kiyutan. And so memela, it should be tahar. And yet, comes along now Shammai. And he says that it was Hochshak, was Shammai Behillel on the basis of the Yudches Dvarim, but this was the first stage. We get how it becomes part of Yudches Dvarim. So Shammai said, well, the grapes are Hochshak. Behillel says, no, they weren't Hochshak. Why should they be Hochshak? It's going to be all like liquid. Omale Hillel Shammai, I don't understand you anyway. If you hold that liquids that are pressed out at the time that you're picking your fruit is considered to be a proper kiyutan, so why is the same thing true about picking olives? You also have some leakage there. So why is it you make such a big deal of they ma botzrin betara, but in moskin betara? How come when it comes to picking grapes, the botzir, that you have to worry about everybody being tar, and boy, the badatz really rates it in. But when it comes to mesika, then there's no problem. And then you don't care who it is that you're using. Amalei, the Shammai said, you make me problems, buddy? And goes on into ma'afala mesika, fine, all right. Then we'll say that you need the badatz for the oil. So you better shut up or you're in big trouble. Actually, Rabbi Natan says elsewhere that that's exactly what he did. That Shammai actually was gozer on the Masika. In other words, if you're going to insist, because Lamaisa, they're not the same. Why are they? No, that's not the reason. The reason they're not the same is because the liquid that comes out of an olive is called a mual. It's not called Shemen. If it isn't pressed under pressure, it's not considered to have a din of Shemen, therefore it won't be Machshir Kabotume even if it was Lurats. So what was Hillel tying? Hillel was only tying for Shammai. Look, I understand what your problem is. You're saying that the fact is that sometimes this is going to still be in there, that people are going to... You can't make that kind of difference. You make it there. You kind of difference where a guy in the street's going to know the difference between a liquid that has a din of a liquid, it doesn't have a din of a liquid. If you hold it, you have to be chayish, that's going to end up in the press. What's the difference between the wine press or an olive press? In which case, according to Rabbi Natan, Shammai said, you know what? You're right. I'll make Xer on the Masika as well. And he actually did make Xer on the Masika. Because it's like, Yilav Hai, Lo Nitkai Mahai. You can't make distinctions that are too fine in Xeris for people to understand.
Why would it make them to even water? Would
be... That's not even water.
If you want.
It's not even, especially. Water is a prime liquid.
Okay,
if you have apple juice, let's say you have a nice big glass of pressed apples, it's not much of a gobble tumor.
Even if it was on it.
It wouldn't make any difference. It's not the liquidity of anything. It has to have a din of one of the Mashiva Mashkin. So, that what happened over there is that they went to a vote. Natsu Cher of the Beit HaMidrash.
The Mo'ol is a real
Gezer,
right?
It looks like a Gezer la Gezer, because the Mo'ol itself is not real. Right. And we're only being Gozer, even Mo'ol that's Olech Le'ibud, because as we'll see in the end, the real reason is you might end up using a plastic bag instead of a basket. Mm-hmm. And if you put it into plastic bags, so then, enough inami. It won't drip to the ground. Anyway, so they went to a vote. They forced the vote. Now, usually what would happen is because the people would slip out. They didn't want to get involved in this. Get me out of here. Well, basically, it looked something like the Knesset. I mean, they should try this in the Knesset. Natsu Cherev. Anybody who tries getting out gets sliced into two. So Natsu Cherev the Beit HaMidrash. And they said, okay, anybody who makes a mistake of walking in, let them come in, but nobody's going out again. We are programmed to receive, but you can never leave. So Amichnasi Kanez Vayotze Hayetze. That was a disaster. Because basically they wiped Hillel out that day. And he had to accept everything that Shammai was saying. That day was the equivalent of the Egel Hazov, let me tell you. So now, what's happening over here is actually quite confusing. Because the Mashma'ut is, and the going to the vote and so on, that this was a description of the Maisa of the Yud Ches Torah. And indeed, in the Tosefta, Tosis points out earlier, in 2 days ago, this really is brought in conjunction with the story of the Yosef's farm. But it isn't really, there must have been two separate mice in them. Because, I mean, as we're saying over here, they were Gozer. Gozer Shammai Deil, which are not the Yosef's farm. The Gemara was careful to be Mechalik before an older Gezeris from the time of Shammai Deil, and then the Yosef's farm, which we're talking about Tamir Shammai Deil. So then, that Gezer again was not Mekubal, as we saw before, the other Gezerot that were not Mekubalot. And Atutamidayu goes with the Kiblu Minayu. From them, the people were Makabal at that point already. And then that story of Oto Yomai Akasheh is brought also that apparently the day of the Yud Ches Varim also, which was a bittul of the Keach of Hillel, from the Talmine Beit Hillel, was also kosher Kiyom Shinase Bo Egel. There's a lot of Kabbalistic elements that are involved in the Asiyas Egel in the relationship to Hillel. Basically, what Hillel has seen. There are three essential steps in the Mesir Satera that we make a big point of. That was Moshe to Ezra, with Ezra Sofer. And then we have Hillel is seen as a continuation of Ezra. So he was, and that whole Shalshelet of Hillel that follows is seen as a continuation of the re-giving of the Torah, as the Gemara says. I mean, it was actual re-giving in terms of Ketav HaShuri, it's called Ezra Sofer. He was the one who reinstituted the Torah in the sense of rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash. Al-Pi Torah creates the whole movement of the Torah Shebal Peh, as it now is the centerpiece of Torah and so on. Hillel, basically, as the Gemara says, came and was Machzir of the Torah to Israel. And he is viewed as the Hemshech of Ezra Sofer. We talked about that whole thing about Rebbe Lezman. The Zayador Asiri, Le Ezra taking the place of Rebbe Gamliel in the big political upheaval in Yavne. And so, as a matter of fact, there's all kinds of discussions in terms of the midos of the two. Because Ezra was very machmir. And he made all types of this yagim. That was it, all of the things that they were doing at the time. The of those issues were very much on a Shammai path, and yet they're both called Anaftanan, and so on. They sometimes send me those and take different directions. So the path of Hillel, which was Dafka, not to create over Siyagim and seeing a danger in over Siyagim, was viewed as an Asina Satira. When Shammai came along, and the Basko was Mevatel Shammai and so on, and nonetheless they were Aimed, and they were forcibly Kofei Hillel, it's seen as the Yom HaSias Eidol. So it's the same way that the Torah was violated by people insisting on doing things their way. So the coming to the vote here had elements in it of a complete kefifa of the real das, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Gilui in the Eidol, and doing things as they wanted to do it.
But they were never Mevatel.
No. It was kosher, and once it happened, and we were Mekabel, and of course that's the halacha, and that's Chas V'Shalom, and that's more Mar, and the halacha. But Lamaisa, there was a sense of tzar, and it's as if there was something between the direct hashpah of the Torah and the way in which it was carried out, which is, I mean, basically that's what the ego was, more than was taking the place of Moshe. It's still the Torah, and so on, it's not really all about the tzar.
Very, I mean, actually, the lighting up.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it's also the way that, as we spoke about the Mesil Sharon's explanation about the dangers of the Shammai Vehil and Machlokas of destroying Klal Yisrael and turning Torah into two Torahs, which was the whole, you know, which would have been a complete breakdown in any type of presence of the Shekhinah. So this is all part of it. So this now becomes the next one. But why were they Gozer? My time. Well, I mean, suppose it's going to fall directly, this grape, in a kupa tmeya, because people will think, I mean, why not? After all, there was no moksha, they weren't moksha kabel tumas, I might as well use the tmei dasa. And the problem is that there's a man yomar who holds that you can be makshif something to be tmei directly even without heksher, if you put it directly into a kli, which is tummy. So a kli gives something a chashivut. Remember, the olden of heksher lekabel tumah is understood as the final step of its preparation as a foodstuff. That's what makes it a food. So just like we have tibat hakodesh, maksharato. How is tibat hakodesh, maksharato? The Torah says that you need mashkin, you don't need tibat hakodesh. Because the din of mashkin is only there as the final step. In other words, the idea is that something, the same way that we don't, that a kli is not mekabel tumah, unless a human designates it as something that's usable. The fact that it might be a natural occurring usable thing doesn't make any difference. That's the thought that counts. That's where that comes from. So the idea over here is also true. But it comes to Oakland, there's food all over the world, and pears dropping from the trees. But that which the Adam is makshit by washing it, that has a din of Oakland. That which the Adam puts into a kli, which is tumay, there you have the akshavay with the tumah at the same moment that we did with kabbal tumah. At least there's such a mandioma. But that was the reason for the gezerah. So if we make sure that people know, no, you have to be very careful about tumah. You need a heksher in order to produce tahar wine. So in the mela, this won't happen. As a gemara, and you have a mandioma, you tell me choshev mashkin that. Wait a second. If you hold like such a mandioma, fine. Then you have to worry shabbos. I mean, what about the mandioma? Tell me choshev mashkin, Michael Amemar. That's certainly the normal way in which we look at it. That either it's, if it doesn't have heksher, it's not going to be mashkin. So what was the gezeirah of Shama? Elo amar zir amar chanina sari. Let's try that again here. Gezeirah shemi yabatzeno bekupot mezufafot. That is the issue, not that they're tmeot. We're afraid you'll use waterproof bags, waterproof baskets, so specifically for this reason. We're mezafeh, which covers it with tar, now it's waterproof, and now we put things into it, and of course, what was the whole reason I used mezufafot? Was so that there shouldn't be any wastage of the liquid that's inside the grapes. So I put the grapes, I'll throw the whole thing together with whatever leaks out of it right now, and it'll all be part of my wine. So then obviously it's the ratzon, in which case we march to the kabel tumah. Rav Amar, gzeira mishum hanoshchot. There's a number of different ways of learning hanoshchot. The Rishonim on the daf assume that noshchot means where you have various eshkalot that are mixed with each other. The only way to pull them apart, so that's noshchot. Noshchot, the two things are biting into each other. When you pull them apart, there's no way to avoid some leakage. Okay, so because of that, it's considered to be, since I want to do this in order to get it, but it's considered to be that it's l'ratzon already. Others learn noshchot k'pshuto. Guy takes a bite. He takes a bite out of the things as he's working, so and it splatters, right, and it trips. So that's considered to be l'ratzon. He wanted to suck on that water, on that grape juice. So that means that now it'll be his makshiv. Others learn noshchot as a pshat negonim, which noshchot means that where you have a case where the grapes have been pasted together, that creates like an absorptive coating between the two. Sort of like a fluffy, you see it sometimes, I think it's really a parasite. But anyway, that absorbs the water, that absorbs the liquid. So since that absorbs the liquid, it's not halachically evil. So mamela, in terms of that, the person doesn't mind that it's leaking now, because he's going to be able to use it. So that's considered mishum anoshchot. Rav Nachman amar Rabba bar Avua, pa'amim, she'adam alech lekarmo, le'dayni yu anavim lebitzira. Oh, look, it can happen. A guy goes out and he wants to test and to see whether the grapes are soft enough. So he takes one of the eshkolot, no tel eshkol anavim, l'sochta, and he tries it out. He takes it and he squeezes. So it's a test. And he's mizalef with that test on other anavim. And then they go and they do the bitzira. So if they'll do the bitzira, b'shata bitzira, dayin mashke tofeach aleihem. Since it's fairly common that you're going to do a test before doing the bitzira, and that certainly he wanted that. He wanted to test it. So mamela, that's considered to be kiyutan, and therefore you have to worry about it still being there. So Shami was gozer. Okay, what are the other cases of the Yotzeh Tvarim?
The Ida. So gozer Shama to Hillel is good.
Gozer Shama Hillel is not the Yotzeh Tvarim.
Right.
But the same thing happened.
Was that at the
afterwards.
Event? Is that the same time?
Tosis says that it's a little mashma. It can't be the same day, because we were mechal between Abot Zulagat, which was considered to be that they were Moda Shammai Lehil in the end, because they accepted it on the same day. The Yud Ches Tvarim was Betchila, they were Nechlaku, and the Besof Hushvu. So there was two different days. It can't possibly be the same time. Although he says it's mashma that, it's a little mashma that they were there, and that there was maybe this happened on two different occasions, but that Shammai Lehil was still there during Yud Ches Tvarim. I don't know. Not very clear about it. Because we, for some reason, have specifically gone out of our way to mix up the two occasions, seeing them as somehow a continuum of this nice ego. V'idach, what's another case? Amar Tavi Rishpa, Tavi was a trapper, maybe it's called Tavi Rishpa, quote Shmuel is saying that the famous halacha of Gidulei Truma Truma was also one of the Yuches Dvarim, and that was Bo B'Yom Gazru. The halacha is, normally, if you plant something, anything where the zera itself now disappears, such as Tvua. We plant a seed of Tvua, there's no longer anything left of the original seed when we get a plant. So in such a case, it's the equivalent of Zuriya really in the earth, which is the meaning of Tyrena Mikveh. Tyrena Mikveh is Matyra. So even if something was tummy, it was a foodstuff, seeds are foodstuffs, nonetheless, it becomes tar the minute that it becomes part of the earth. We were gozer, then anything that grows out of Truma remains Truma. Wow. My time, a winemaker, Zera like that. Rabbi Chanina, Gezera Mishum Truma Tahora, Beyad Yisrael. What we were afraid of, forget about Tuma right now. Sure, we're comparing it to the Dinam of Tuma. But the idea over here is that the basis of this Gezera is that if a Yisrael has Truma, he's thinking, I got to give this away to the Kohen. Not again. These guys are always taking everything. So he figures, you know what? I got a better idea. I have to plant anyway. Why don't I just use it for planting? When I plant it, the zera will be kola. What comes out of it is going to be new grain. We can sort of keep that going. I'll use the truma to handle the seeds for the next season.
Why? Because he doesn't want to give it away?
Why would I want to give it away?
Can we say Rav Amai?
Wait a minute. Oh, my Rava. We're going to eat the chashini lahafi. I understand. If that's their problem, I mean, they're really so worried about giving away that 1/40th or 1/50th, whatever they're giving. They had to take off that much in the beginning. They could have taken off one chita, parted themselves from true. At least it wouldn't be tevel. Obviously, they don't want to eat tevel. But they would have to keep the rabbanon that the daf could give such a big piece of their property to the kohen. Take off one chita, give it to the kohen. You got to go. I mean, this is ridiculous. If you're ready to do this, you want to keep your truma, you're going to replant it. It doesn't make sense. I mean, there's easier ways out of giving truma. Because kivan de'efshel never chita achat k'dishmua. Since they could have done this, and that's Shmuel's own halacha, including Shmuel, Shmuel's own halacha that chita achat poteret ha'takrit. The loka of it, and this is not what he's doing. So obviously we're not going to be choshish that now he's going to keep the truma that he himself set aside for no other reason but to give to a kohen in the first place. He didn't need to. And now he's going to look for all kinds of ways in which he doesn't have to give it to a kohen. This is very unreasonable. Alexer mishum truma tameya. Indeed, this is another one of the Xeris of truma. A kohen has truma tameya. He said, what am I going to do with this now? I'm not allowed to eat it. What am I going to do with grain? That's tameya. It has no value to me. So therefore, you know what? Why don't I put it aside? And we'll use it for planting. Now, since when it goes into the ground, now it becomes tar, just as if it went into a mikveh, so to speak, not that you can be matayro, but it's equivalent for open and putting something in a mikveh. Okay, so now I'll have myself the usage of thousands of dollars worth of plant. What do I have to go to the grain store for? So because of that, we don't, what's so bad about that?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong? Of course there's nothing wrong with it. But what we are worried about is the mamashimek of it. If that's the case, then all year round, any truma tamei that he has, he's going to put it inside of his silo. He's going to be waiting to plant. During that time, somebody's going to eat it. So in order to avoid his coming to a takala of using truma tamei, we were going to, it won't help him to keep the truma tamei, because now all of his plant is going to end up now still being tamei.
What grows from it, where it goes down.
Because we're afraid he's going to keep it until...
That isn't going to do him any good.
It's not going to do him any good. V'idach?
Would he throw that at the seed? The thing that grows from those seeds?
No, we're treating it as if it's... As if it's truma. That's the problem, right?
Okay, truma. Is it both funny and...
Well, that's really a little bit of a machlokas. That's really a little bit of a machlokas. Rashi is assuming that the tuma is also going to be on it. Tosis brings Raya from Safir that it's just going to be Truma. You do like Truma, Truma. It's not you do like Truma, Truma, Tamea. So why isn't it worth it? Because once we make a Dule Truma, Truma, it's not going to be worth very much because only Kohanim can eat it. It's absurd for him for the additional value that he gets of not buying new seeds to not have a market for his produce. Exactly. So no, it's not that we need to keep the Tuma on it. Was because of the Gezerah of Truma that we ended up making a Truma. But you don't have to say like Rashi is saying that that it's actually going to be Tani. The next case, V'idah, Om Reb Chiya Barami Mishmei Deula, Af Mishi Hichshich Lo Baderek. Noten kisola nochri bo biyom gazrus. An interesting gezera, because really you're not supposed to. Mikra did if you're stuck on the road, you're carrying your wallet. I mean, what are you going to do?
Shabbos
is coming. You thought you can make it, you can't make it. Well, I mean, there is a simple solution. You could keep walking, focus me our Bahamas, you know. And then when you get close, you can drop it somewhere, and you never carried our Bahamas versus around. However, they were gozer not to do that, and instead they said, give it to a goy and have him carry it for you. But that's better to do than being the tata pachot pachot mi'ar ba'amot.
He could have stopped with their line, or you have to put that.
So therefore you can't. No, you'd have to actually be, I mean, we said before that if you're leketef, it's not leketef to be. You have to be army lafush, in other words. The ida. And what's the other case? Omar Bali.
What did they answer against? What did they answer?
To carry pachas mi'ar ba'amot. You may end up actually carrying.
Right, so that's...
And that they said better... And that they asked her to do.
And they muttered this, right?
And they muttered this.
Because it's a mere
so it's like, well, yeah, but you're giving it to him beforehand.
Before it's an
option. Right, but still, he's going to be carrying for you the whole time. But they're muttered. That's what they're trying to point out, that this is different than all the other ones. Because all the other ones are straight out gezeres without any tzad hetzer in it. This was the gezeres that has in it a tzad hetzer, that even though he's walking along with Yisrael doing his thing for him. But nonetheless, again, this is if he's starting a case, you know, we're afraid that the guy, and we'll see later on when we get to this also again, towards the end of the Masechta, that we have a lot of concerns about monetary losses because people tend to ignore halachas for monetary losses. So it's even worse. So. Now, what's the other case? Ve'ida. Omar Bali, Omar Avimi Sanveta, Avimi from Sanva. Once we're already in Bali, we've got other islands. So Pitan, Vishamnan, Vyenan, Vnotehan, Kulan Miyutchet Davarhim. All of these things are one gezer, as we'll see. That the takana not to eat of Pats Akum in Shemen, it relates to the din of Stam Yena, which itself ends up relating to the halacha of preventing contact with their females. All of these things are Miyutchet Davarhim, because they're interrelated, we view them as one of the Yudchet Dvarim. So we now have Yudchet Dvarim because we had our nine cases we had. The opening nine were the Tzulim of the Truma, all the cases that are posted are Truma. Then we had the Mishnah before, which is the Ein Korin, the Ein Polin, and then that gives us 11. And then we have these cases. That we had our cases of the Sinor and the Kli, assuming that we count that case that you forgot, you know, the Kishar Avim and then the Pizar Avim. And then we had the case of the Mardeya today. The Benot Kutim, let's count. The Bozer Lagat, let's count. The Gedule Truma Truma. And we have this last case of Noting Kisola Akum. So, okay. Then this case of all these other four, Pitan, Shamnan, Yema, Notam, that's a final case. Gives us 18, at least, if you hold of Rabbi Meir. If you don't hold of Rabbi Meir, and take hold of Rabbi Yossi, who included Benot Kutim to take the place of the missing case of Tzinor, so then you only have Shamsi Havi. You only have 17. Ah. But Ika had Rav Acha Bar Ada. You forgot about Rav Acha Bar Ada, which according to Rav Yossi is one of the Yudches Dabar. Yom Rav Acha Bar Ada, Rav Yitzchak. The Gozru Al Pitan. Okay, fine, we counted that. The reason we were Gozru Al Pitan was because of Shemen Akum, while Shemen Mishum Yenan. What is that supposed to mean? Al Pitan Mishum Shamnan. My Ume the Shemen Mipat. Well, but there's a bigger reason to be Gozer. Shemen Akum than Pat Akum. Well, same thing. Sorry, say that over properly. Gozer al pitan vishamnan. That's one gzera. Pat akum shemen akum. Why do we make such a gzera? Mishum yeinam. Well, what do we care about yeinam? Al yeinam mishum benotehem. Well, we care about benotehem. I mean, basically, we know how it all started, right? That's how it all started in the Midbar. Badayin lo asu, it's yeinam. So that's how they came out to be chote by Peor and so on, was because there was no takana of stam yeinam. And they came, therefore, to do avodah zarah. And in the end, they took their daughters. So Val Benotehem, Mishum Davar Acher. And, I mean, we've got to keep away from their women because, I mean, that's, you know, that's going to end up leading you to Avodah Zarah. And the truth is, there was another Gezerah. That's the other thing. Al Davar Acher, Mishum Davar Acher. Now, the Davar Acher, Mishum Davar Acher, that's the missing one of the 18. And that's what Rabbi, what was that? Omer Lachmai Yisrael, Gazru Al Tinok Nochri. What they did is they said that there should be a din of zivos, even if he's not a zav. There were gozer on him because we want to break social contact between kids, even males. I mean, understand that we want to avoid females because of the whole issue that took place in the beginning with the B'nos Moab and so on. That was a major turning point in Israel's history. However, we also have to be worried about sexual perversions. So the Shaloye Tidok Yisrael Ragil Etzlo B'mishkav Zechor, I shouldn't even say sexual perversions, because the whole point of the Gemara is that this is sexually normal.
Of kids.
Right. In other words, since they're not makbid on a normative behavior of Mishkav Zechor, we're going to worry about it becoming acceptable to the Jewish males, and that for them is obviously not, well, it's not acceptable for the others either, but they're makbid. So wait.
They say
you don't
have a gay pride parade.
They were mavato, the gay pride parade. But you'll never guess why.
Because
of orange.
Because
of orange. Because we've met good. They said it's a time of availus, you can't be gay. That's a whole new switch. So, according to this, we end up with an extra gezera. The Dover Acher, Mishum Dover Acher, is another gezera. How do I explain that? The Yachin Rebbe Meir, Nami Chasre Havya. So now, if you do hold a Rebbe Meir, and you also hold a Menot Kutin, which we listed before, so now we're going to have the Tinok Nofri as well. Well, I guess what we'll have to say is the two cases that we had out of the nine cases of the post and the Sakshuma, and then we had that Ochlin and Kalin that became Tame the Mashka, actually that's all Chodach HaShivrui. So then a Mashkim Chodzim Leo's Rishon, and being able to be Matame Kalin, even though Maisa Kalin is a whole new thing, but both of them, the Yisod of both of them, is in how it is that we treat Mashkim, the Chumra of Mashkim, the fact that it could be an Avatuma if it was Mashkim dissolved. So let's include those two things as really one thing, because they both reflect on the new status that we're giving to Mashkin, and therefore we're left with 18 to. And now, it turns out that we don't need to have a floating Benot Kutin. Actually, the question over here is how we count the nine as opposed to the Mishatruma. Do we include the Oakland of Mashkin as one, or do we make them two? So now we could even leave out if you didn't know the Benot Kutin was one of those 18 and have it listed as two and so on.
So does that mean we have all of this?
It's interesting that the Gra takes out on Ahmed Aleph the whole piece about, and what happened in the other piece he holds like Rabbi Yossi, not like Rabbi Meir, right? That whole piece. Whereas the Rabbi Tavnama Kapeah Rabbini and so on. That, says the Gra, is not really part of the Gemara that was put in by someone who didn't recognize that we aren't viewing Benot Kutim as a floater. Because in the end it turns out that the real variable over here is not Benot Kutim. Everybody ends up counting Benot Kutim. Why should we act now as if really Benot Kutim is what we kept in reserve? This is what we kept in reserve. We're going to end up determining the Yotchez form that everybody agrees to Benot Kutim. And it turns out what was in reserve was the ninth case of the Pasim and Sakruma. Was it eight or nine? So he doesn't have the whole gear set. Which, I mean, it certainly seems to make a lot more sense. Which is why all of a sudden we change it. It sounded like you were convinced that by the time we got to the end of the sugya, we'd figure out why some people are not going to include Benot Kutim. It keeps coming back to the Benot Kutim. I just have to make this bracha for our president. He may be listening.
What's amazing to me is that Rebbe keeps getting it even though he's not here.
No, this is really amazing.
That's power.
Maybe
take care of
a bunch of
other
things. Or a time in Ireland about it. I'm sure I'm going to get it. That's right. Speaking of Tavi Rishba. So what was the question?
Right. Okay.
And is Mishum Dabar Acher? Mishum Dabar Acher. The truth is, what does it mean, Benoteyam? Oh, so that's a Shaila. Benoteyam, some learn, Benoteyam means Yichud in Benoteyam. Normally, we're not Gozer Yichud in cases where the actual intercourse wouldn't be an Isser D'Raisa, wouldn't be an Isser Chomer D'Raisa, or to some there's no Isser involved, without permanent Yichud and so on, of a Nochrit as a mistress. So, I mean, this is a tremendous Chomer. Don't be Misyachik with the Goy. That's one way. This is a Machlokes in the Gemara, not here, but in the whole Sigan of the Zara. Or is it that we were Gozer on Benoteyam, that they should be also Nidos, which Tosfos asks earlier, why wouldn't that be included in the case of Benot Kutin? So he explains that even though the effect of both of those takonas are the same, we still need separate ones for Benot Kutin for Benot Akum. Because I would have thought that Benot Kutin, on the one hand, Benot Kutin has an Iruchum Reb. He says, he goes through Ba'avodis Kuchavim, it's because there are other Ganavodis Kuchavim. It says, I mean, we should Dover Acher. So I want to stay away from their women, because their women will inevitably lead you into a coolest Lagabe coming to church and so on. Okay. But Kutim don't worship Avodah Zarah, certainly not openly, so they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna take you to church. So why would we make it there? On the other hand, if we make it there by Kutim and say, well, of course, Kutim, I mean, they're part of the Jewish society. That's why it was so difficult to get that gzera moving. In other words, they tried in various generations to ask for Kutim, they couldn't do it. It was simply not financially feasible. People would never recover that gzera. It's like it was a group of people that was mixed with everybody else. So maybe we would, in fact, be gozer there because you're more likely to get involved with Kutim than you are in a Dikunim. He says, we're dealing with Shaykh today, Gabi Yisrael. We're not going to make a gzera for Akum where it's, I mean, how often do you come in contact with Benos Akum? Maybe we won't make exera because in a dover de lo shrif we're not gozer. So it really is two separate exeras. If you hold like this one, you are. If it's just a din in yichud, no sayan, so we don't get into that problem. No.
And then chassidus, because they wait because it could be if it's intermarriage.
No, bishum dover acher. Not because of the timua aspect, but because of the being led directly to avodah zarah prior to timua. I mean, lamaisa, the Torah itself brings out the relationship of timua to chitur. Right? That's what it says. That, you know, you're going to end up, your children are going to end up following their minhag. I mean, actually, that's the whole sugya of the matrimonial that you sent, of course.
And now, so okay, mishum dover acher. Okay, so that's, I mean, sound it because of avodah zarah.
Yeah.
So what's the word?
Then there was another thing that they were gozer because of something else. What's the other thing that they were gozer? Was the din of zivas.
The play of words, then. Not talking about.
It's a different dover acher.
Right.
It's just saying, I mean, these are things that are not very nice to publicize. First of all, let's keep that, you know. I mean, certainly the Romans wouldn't have been too happy to hear about this. Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, it's typical Jewish stuff, you know. They're better than everybody else. It's the Goyish kids that are going to, you know, they're good. We're going to mess them up, right? The speech about it in this era is a little bit more. Okay, Rabbi Osai, I hope you weren't practicing all night for that. You were practicing all night? Oh, my goodness. You're just
CBC. I'm going to say goodbye.